welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. Before we begin today, I'd like to invite you all out to the AUSA Expo in Washington, D.C. from the 13th through the 15th of October. This is an absolutely amazing time to witness and learn all about the new innovations and development across the Army. You'll have the opportunity to hear from a magnitude of senior leaders discussing a variety of programs and ways ahead for the force. I'll be there personally, speaking on the new era of Army communication and another panel about the Harding Project. If you find me, I may even have some Logstat gear to give you. This is an opportunity you don't want to miss. I hope to see you all there. Now, on to today's episode, where I have a full panel here with me to walk us through the sustainment training strategy and how the CASCOM Collective Training Development Division, CTDD, establishes the training standards for sustainment units. The products their team and others develop ensures that every unit and soldier has the training needed to complete their mission and win any battle they may face. We're going to go over a lot of resources today to help you train your units. But before we do, let me introduce to you our guests from the CTDD. First, we have Captain Sharika Rose, who serves as a Senior Development Training Officer in the CTDD at CASCOM. She is a prior service officer who was commissioned in 2018 in the Ordnance Corps. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting from Virginia Union University and a Master of Science in Sports Management from Virginia State University. She's held a variety of positions throughout her career, including Executive Officer, S3 OIC, and Company Command.
Captain Rose, happy to be here.
Next, we have a Sergeant First Class Eric Cedeno, who serves as a training developer in the CTDD at CASCOM and enlisted in the Army in 2010 as a 91 Mike, Bradley Fighting Vehicle Systems maintainer. He has served at Fort Hood, Fort Irwin, Fort Bliss, and Fort Lee with deployments to Korea and Iraq. He holds an associate's degree from the American Military University and is currently working on his bachelor's degree in project management.
This is Sergeant First Class Daniel. Happy to be here.
And finally, we have Mr. Craig Boston, who also serves as a trained developer in the CTDD at CASCOM. He's a native of Maine and is a 1995 graduate of Dartmouth University, where he has earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Criminal Justice and commissioned as an Army or an Infantry officer through ROTC. In 1998, he branch transferred in the Ordnance Corps and has had multiple deployments throughout his career. He retired in 2016 as a Lieutenant Colonel and was hired as a Programs Manager for the Sustainment Battle Lab at CASCOM prior to his current position that he has held since 2019.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me to the Logstat podcast.
So once again, I'm so excited to have you all here today. This is our first time being able to do, you know, a full panel of three people at once. So I'm just really excited to really gather all the wisdom and knowledge that you all have and really get it out to us as a force, especially when it comes to the sustainment training strategy. God, it can be a mouthful sometimes. But first off, before we even get into this strategy, we really want to highlight to our audience, you know, what is, you know, the CASCOM Collective Training Development Division, CTDD, for those who have maybe even never heard of this.
Here at Collective Training, our mission is to develop and revise Headquarters DA Sustainment Units, Collective Training Products to the total Army, which consists of all three compos. We have the active Army, we have the Army National Guard, and the United States Army Reserve.
So your office is the ones that are like at the top of the chain. You all are the ones developing when it comes to sustainment wise.
Yes.
Okay. And it's really good to have to understand that you are feeding into all three compos, so that you guys are helping to help develop everything that we need to. I know we're gonna get into the sustainment training strategy as well as some of the products you guys all work on. So what are some of the operational unit collective training products that you develop, you know, and kind of revise?
Yes, sir. So some of these products are our combined arms training strategies and our training and evaluation outlines. And these, we review and revise them every 3 years. So big questions that I get when I'm asked, what do you do at Collective Training? I'm like, when I revise a combined arms training strategy, everybody looks at me with confusion. Like, what is that? So the easiest way that I break it down is it's a process is of analyzing the beginning with the front end analysis, which is a breakdown of the metal and the met for a forward support company, which is what I specifically deal with, company level combined arms training strategies or CATs. Utilizing the FMS website, we take out the training table of equipment and organizations, reflect the data from that onto the the CATs, and then review and revise anything that's updated within the task sets to collective training products.
So you're saying that so you help build CATs then? Okay, and then just to clarify, and that stands for what again for the audience?
Combined Arms Training Strategies.
Okay. And that is, so when I get on, and then I get online, I'm looking up whatever, I search my unit or my unit type, you are the ones who are building those reports that I pull from CATs to know, hey, this is how I'm going to be doing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, clarify the simplest terms. The CATS is a generic unit training plan that the commander can modify based on whatever his current metal assessment of the unit. But basically, when we develop a CATS or unit training plan, it's a 12-month period where we progressively lay out training events through crawl, walk, and run for them to achieve training readiness. Now it's on the commander, because then they have to go ahead and look at both what their installation time management training cycle is, you know, whether they're in the red, amber, or green cycle, because that can impact whether or not they can conduct, say, higher level events such as walk or run. And then they also have to look at their higher headquarters training guidance to determine how much time do we have available to train. Because once again, the CATs are designed to train a unit over a 12-month period. And maybe if a unit is going to a CTC or deploying, they might not have a full 12 months. So then they'll have to modify the plan based off the time they have available. But at the end of the day, the CATs provides a solid template for how they can achieve training readiness.
So walk me through, say I am a brand new company commander, or I am a brand new first sergeant, and I'll get on, I need to build a unit training plan. So what do I do when I see CATs? Okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, so the CATs can be very complicated, but at the very basis of the CATs is basically a CATs training calendar, which is 12 months, where we by day place training events in the crawl, walk, run progression throughout the 12 months. So, you know, to me, the very heart of, you know, developing unit training plan is when you lay out either on some type of whiteboard or whatever media you're using the 12 months, and, you know, you synchronize between echelons. So, you know, probably most units you're looking at what brigade's doing, what your battalion's doing, and then companies, and synchronizing those training events across echelon. And that's, you know, that's what the CATs can do, because we provide a templated 12-month calendar in there.
So you're saying I don't have to develop this all on my own and just come up with it? It's already there for me?
I would say it's at least a 80 to 90% solution for the unit.
So I get in, I find my unit on CATs, and I know it's a generic, hey, this is generic based on your unit type. So I pull it out, I got my 12-week, or my 12-week, my 12-month calendar, and I'm starting to template stuff. Now that I'm using CATs, is there any, what other programs should I then also be utilizing to help build my training?
Well, the units will do this in DTMS, and so that's already an automated program for them to develop, you know, their unit training plan, where basically they can take our templated calendar and adjust training events within it according to the timeline they have or time available for them to train.
And with all yours, and all this work you guys have done on cats, any good tips or tricks that company commanders, first sergeant should be aware of when utilizing this program?
Yes, sir. You can utilize the website ATN, the Army Training Network. In there, you'll have two links, cats or medals. You can select either one. The individual may use their unit's UIC, and once you type it in, you'll have your unit's medal, the complete medal for the entire year. Once you see the breakdown of your unit's medal, there'll be task sets, which are basically the titles, the numeric title of your training and evaluation outlines. If you have issues with the website, like opening up the TNEOs, you can use the website CAR, the Central Army Registry, and that's another resource that you can go to. You type in the training and evaluation outline task set number, and you can print your TNEOs in PDF format. And these TNEOs, they range from the individual up to the company and battalion and echelons above brigade level.
Now, you said company. Now, can these programs still work from battalion and up, or is it just company below?
The cats?
Yes.
Yeah, so we develop unit training plans at all echelons, mainly company to brigade to ESC to TSC. There could be some smaller units like movement control teams that also have, but, you know, those are the exception.
Okay. Can you tell us more about the CAR? So you said it's the Central Army Registry. So yeah, I go back to, hey, I am brand new, or maybe I'm even a brand new second lieutenant or a brand new staff sergeant. You know, I'm about to take a platoon. I'm like, what, I have to use this thing called a CAR? What is that? What am I supposed to do with this?
So the CAR is just, it's a website. You go to it and utilize the UIC, enter it, and your unit will be displayed, your mission essential task list. So everything that you need in order to deploy, every task you need to execute in order to deploy. Once you enter there, it'll give you a breakdown of everything that broken down into task sets and everything that your unit is designed to accomplish within the mission. And then, like I said, from there, you can break it down from the individual all the way up to company or battalion, brigade, or echelons above brigade.
So pretty much when we talk about the CAR, we just, you know, want to think of it as it's just like a dictionary. That's where you can go in and input specifically what it is that you're looking for, and it would generate those products that aligns with what it is that you're searching for. Yes, as he mentioned, like, it lists a lot of training evaluations, pretty much because that's what you was pulled for, to evaluate your training. And it is all the way down from, like, the individual level to the, you know, squad or company, whatever it is that you're looking for. Like, that CAR would display those products for you to utilize.
There's another website you can use, ATN, Army Training Network. And from there, say you're having issues with the CAR or the website is down, you can go to ATN as well, and you can find training and evaluation outlines just by simply typing in the title. It's another form or another resource that the unit can use.
Awesome. And I know this, I kind of want to get into more of those resources that your team works with or, you know, has any kind of input with. I know when we talked prior to recording about some of these products, I know the first one we talked about, like, shaping products that you all work. What are some of the shaping products? Like, why would it be called shaping?
So when we speak on our shaping products, because at the end of the day at Collective, we focus on three pillars. And like you said, the first one being shaping, which is our products. That's where he stated, you know, we do medals. That's where we create medals for those units, and that pretty much our core missions of the unit based on doctrine and headquarters unit toe. Along with that, you know, we have the CATs that fall under our products, and the TOEs, which is our training evaluations, and our UTLs. We focus on those as well. That's considered the products that we put together for the force in order for them to focus on their training. All of them have, like, a different process of how it actually works for those products, but that's how we shape for the force.
So now we have our shaping products, and now that goes into, the, I guess, believe the next influencing process. What are some of those?
So when we talk about our influencing, that's, yes, our processes. That's where we hit on our TRMs. We also deal with lesson learned. With lesson learned, we work hand to hand. That's where, you know, lessons learned, go out to the forest, you know, get that feedback, and we take that feedback and revise our products to make the products better for the force. We also deal with live fire strategy, which pretty much that measures the sustainment unit live fire strategy. When it comes to live fire strategy, we do have a SME within our collective training section where if any of the units have any type of problems or any type of questions, they can reach out to our SME directly and he can assist with those products. Not only that, we do deal with training ammunition, which that managed training ammunition strategy for the sustainment. Again, we do have an SME when it comes to training ammunition as well, and along with the resources with the strat that goes along with the training ammunition.
Well, thank you. That is a good breakdown and kind of see now what we went from shaping products to how you, the influencing processes. And finally, we have with the supporting outreach. What is this last part then?
So our supporting outreach is pretty much how we make ourselves known, like how we put our products out there for the force to use. We do that by the Army Sustainment Resource Portal, which is our ASRP. That's where a lot of our resources are placed, where anyone can go to utilize this site to pull those resources. Along with the ASRP, you know, there's how they can contact and get in contact with us with any division. It's a contact button there, and they can reach out if they have any specific questions and or if they ever confused about any of our products that they need more information about. We deal with the sustainment training strategy, in which we would touch more basis on that as well, which that defines the sustainment unit training by echelons of all compos. Not only that, we do unit outreach. That's where we reach out to units, you know, to try to set up, you know, meetings and or, you know, via teams. We do unit visits if funding is there. If not, then, like I said, we'll do a teams meeting. And that's where we'll just pretty much have a conversation if they have any questions as far as their, you know, specific unit and how we can assist with them with that. And like I said, most of the time, most units are busy. So we provide those resources via email. And if they have questions, they can just reach out to us.
Wow, that is a lot of different products that you all have your hands into that really, you know, gets out to the force. And it's good to see how it builds upon itself. And you're developing these shaping products, which then goes into your influencing process. And really, it's the end state is that supporting outreach. We had a great episode, one of our first episodes on the ASRP. So I highly suggest to all our viewers, if you haven't listened to that one, go back and check that out, where we really go through what everything that the ASRP has to offer, because that is like your one-stop shop for anything sustainment when it comes to tools. And with all these products, one of the questions that I thought of was like, so how often are these products updated? Is this like a yearly thing you do? Is you do it as things come? Like usually what's your battle rhythm when it comes to updating products?
So I would say of the three primary products that we develop, which is the metal, the CATS, and then training evaluation outlines for collective tasks, metals are only updated as needed. And generally those go through headquarters DA. So there's a very lengthy process to update them, which takes about a year. So we do not update those unless it's absolutely required. You know, like something changed with the unit's mission or capabilities, then, hey, we need to reassess the metal. As far as the combined arms training strategies, we generally update those on a yearly basis. Though, you know, we have started to do a 50-50 plan because in order for the unit training plans or CATs, we have to do them by the SRC of the unit. And with the Army making drastic changes to the force right now with transformation in contact and just updating the tables of authorizations for units, there's a lot of new SRCs. And then finally, the training evaluation outlines per TRADOC, we have to update those every 3 years. Of course, if we see lessons learned or CTC lessons learned specifically, usually we try to go ahead and incorporate that into an update if there's new, you know, just like, say, UAS. We've learned a lot from Ukraine war on drones. So, you know, we started to incorporate some of those lessons learned from Ukraine into our defense collective tasks at Echelon.
You kind of already answered the question I was thinking of, but I know there's a lot of changes happening with transformation and contact right now with the ticks. So I imagine your office has been very busy with, I know, the changing of formations. Can you allude to anything like that?
The main transformation contact one that we're looking at right now had to do with basically the BSBs for the infantry brigade combat teams will be moving from being organic to the brigade combat team to moving to the DSB, the Division Sustainment Brigade. They will now be organic to them, but they will still support the BCTs that they habitually did. So it's really just a change of who owns the capability. But then we also have changes within the DSB and really the Division Sustainment Battalions, where we've added additional capabilities for transportation. The maintenance company is now moving from the DSSB to the Division Special Troops Battalion instead, because we've added two new companies to the DSSB. So we kind of looked at this and said span of control might be exceeded. So the maintenance company has now moved to a different battalion. But really, these changes shouldn't drastically affect how units operate, or specifically how they train or their metal. It's just we haven't changed their capabilities, but maybe increased the capacity to conduct their sustainment capabilities.
Well, thank you for that, because I know there's so many things that it feels like we're changing at such a rapid pace right now, where, you know, I know we're on TIC 2.0 and like things are always changing what these units are going to look like, the formation. So it's good to see how your team is adapting to that and just reacting to, hey, this formation is now changed, or maybe has a lost some elements to it, but now it's got added some other elements to it. And just how you guys are all adapting and being able to update the product so that as these happen, units are able to still utilize the products you're developing so they can be out, hit the ground running when it comes to developing their training strategies. And that kind of gets into our next talk, which is like the focus I want to get into is the sustainment training strategy. I know for some reason it's just like a tongue tie for me to say, but what can you tell us about the published sustainment training strategy?
So when it comes to our sustainment training strategy, it is a pamphlet. A lot of people don't know about the pamphlet, but it is good to know, because when you look at it, it's kind of like a how-to guide. It's a how-to guide that brings together both doctrine and collective training products for the force. Throughout the pamphlet was built to support building and assessing LISCO units' progressive training readiness. Throughout the pamphlet, there's key topics that you will see, pretty much like how we train. That's pretty much what it focuses on. Not only that, there are useful annexes throughout the pamphlet, pretty much all the way from the platoon level all the way up until the battalion. Throughout the pamphlet, there are examples, training examples, i.e. a notional training path. We pretty much lay out a crawl, walk, run training timeline that the company can utilize for their training.
Yeah, I would add in there, one of the important sections to the training strategy to me is near the end, we have a section on how to develop a unit training plan, and it goes step by step in detail of what a commander, regardless of echelon, should be doing to develop that.
This is a great resource, this sustainment training strategy. So you said it was a pamphlet. Where can I find this pamphlet at?
This pamphlet is located on our ASRP site.
Perfect. And we'll get, so everyone out there, and just the way you talked about it, this is something we're looking back, I wish I would have used this, you know, looking back from my experience as company command. This would have been, it would have made training plan a lot more easier, because while I was using CATS, you know, using all the products we've already talked about for training, but just being able to have something like this good how-to guide that you have all just talked about, I think that would have would it just take me to the next level? And that's just something I advise to all company commanders, first sergeants, especially even, you know, our junior leaders out there, lieutenants and staff sergeants, to get in, to get into this. So, because as you said, it goes from what? Battalion
to the platoon.
Down to platoon. So you could be out there and developing all your different training strategy from this. So get out there and utilize these resources. The Army has so many different products out there, and the bad part is sometimes a lot of people don't know about them. And that's the point here, is trying to inform the community on all these products that exist that will make our lives a lot easier, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. How many times do we reinvent the wheel on so many different things? So can one thing when it comes to training, and I've heard this, you know, different times, when it comes to sustainment gunnery. You know, people get that confused all the time. I know there's a lot of different misconceptions out there what a sustainment gunnery is, and specifically when it comes to a convoy protection platform, or CPPs, when it comes to sustainment gunneries. What are the resources available for sustainment gunnery? Like, you know, what can you really clarify what that is for our audience?
Okay, so there's three primary resources for sustainment gunnery. The first one is the TC411.46, which is the actual convoy protection platform collective live fire exercise manual. Then we have TC411.47, which is the sustainment senior gunner program for sustainment units. And then lastly, this one doesn't affect as many units, but we do have some. This is a watercraft unit, TC415.52, which covers sea-based gunnery. But at, you know, fundamentally what convoy protection platform training is in what the manual for it is, provides a standardized means to train all protection platforms. And when, you know, to simplify it, basically convoy protection platform training consists of three phases. And each phase is a two-day training event. You start with crew, CPP, then you move to section, and then finally you move to convoy escort team. And then it all culminates in a company live fire training event.
So, no, thank you very much just for kind of going over, because I know there is just some misconceptions. I've heard people say, oh, sustainable gunnery is this, you're doing a maintenance rodeo. Or I've heard a variety of different things throughout my career. So I think it's good to have that solid understanding. So what is a sustainable gunner, in for providing those resources so that individuals can go out and actually start planning with the correct regulations, so they can have an effective training. And is there anything here that you would want to highlight to any of you to the team that we've missed when it comes to what your team does, or it comes to the sustainment training strategy that you believe is going to be good to have out to inform the community with?
Oh, I would say if you're a squad leader out there, or a platoon sergeant or first sergeant, I would go to ATN or the CAR and use your UIC and look up what your toe is made, or your metal's made up of. And like we were just talking about the CPP, the Convoy Protection Platform gunnery, that task set is broken down into multiple collective training tasks. Those tasks would then break down into platoon and then section and an individual. And you can literally build your training just utilizing these training and evaluation outlines. That's what I have for the force.
Well, the thing I would comment about is that on the ASRP is not only the training products that we create, but we also post doctrine and non-doctrinal products, such as any of the call handbooks that the CTCs publish. And if leaders are not reading those, they need to. And we post a lot of the call handbooks on there. Not everyone, but ones that jump out at us. And some of them are very solid. And, you know, because what the problem is doctrine is descriptive. It tells you what to do, but a lot of times it doesn't tell you how to do it. And that's why I think we have so many call handbooks that are published every year, because call handbooks take it from what to do to how to do it. And that's what units need to know. They need to know how to do it. Yeah, if you're an experienced leader, then you can make up your plays as you go. But for junior leaders, they need to have a framework of how to do this before they can decide to, make changes.
So as we kind of get ready to close out, I always like to give our audience or our guests an opportunity to really talk about, like, what advice do you have for the sustainment community? I'll start with you, Captain Rose.
Again, as many hit on, I just think, like, the big takeaway for the sustainment community is utilizing the products that we actually have. The ASRP site is the sustainment one-stop shop. It pretty much have the majority of the information that you may need. And if you're looking for something and it's not there, it's just a matter of shooting a message and they will ensure that that message get to the right division so that your question can be answered and or provide you with the type of products that you're looking for. So if no one knows about the ASRP, highly recommend that they get a great feel of the ASRP. It is a site where you have to play with, so you have to go through and just see what it is that's listed on that site.
Sorry?
Yes. One last thing for the sustainment community out there. Again, I want to touch upon the resources you have, especially if you're a junior leader or young NCO out there. If you don't understand what troop leader procedures are, these task and evaluation outlines, they highlight exactly what you need to do for troop leading procedures. If you're at the battalion level, the MDMP process is highlighted and outlined through the training and evaluation outlines for battalion and battalion and above collective tasks.
I'm going to double down on what I'm going to say is self-development. I think we've kind of lost that, and where I'm going with this is the call handbooks. We need leaders, junior and experienced, to be looking at these non-doctrinal manuals because they provide a wealth of knowledge on how to conduct operations, how to, say, develop logistics estimates for battalion and higher staffs. And, you know, so if you're not reading those, you're missing out on, you know, solid procedures on how to do stuff. And also, hey, these are new TTPs. You know, we expect soon something to be published on base cluster operations from the CTCs. And, you know, that's a critical thing that units are going to need to learn how to do, because, you know, we know now with large scale combat operations and what's going on in Ukraine, the Ukraine war, that, you know, if you mass a large sustainment node, it's going to be detected and destroyed. So we need to know how to operate that way. But right now in doctrine, there's not any clear method or way to do this, you know. So, but the CTCs are working on that.
Very, very true. This has been a fantastic conversation today. It is, especially our being our first with a full panel here. So I just want to really thank you all for coming in today and walking us through everything. But as always, I know a lot of people like to have follow-up questions. There might have been something we talked about that one of our audience might be like, oh, I want to know more about that. So where can people find you at if they have any additional follow-up questions?
First, they can find us utilizing our ASRP portal. Again, there is a contact button there. Not only that, all of our training products, our email is listed. And then also just our global email if someone wants to reach out directly.
Yes, if they want to reach out, could always reach out to me personally as well through Outlook or MS Teams. I have two last things, so it'd be Cedeno Gallegos. First name is Eric.
So once again, thank you for taking the time to come in and just really provide our listeners with an understanding of just everything that your office, the Collective Training Development Division, has to offer. All these great resources that we went over today, and just really good overview of the sustainment training strategy and how to apply it.
Thank you for having me here today. I really hope that this panel helps a lot of sustainers out there.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having us today.
Cool. Thank you.
And if you're interested in any other of these resources that we discussed today, then be sure to check out the links that'll be found in the episode show notes. Share this episode with a fellow sustainer so we can continue to increase the lethality of the entire force. But that is all we have today, folks. As always, Sustainment Leaders Start Here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.